One of the things I'm thrilled about as we head into 2008 is so far God's been gathering this congregation. Can you put that next slide up, the one about where I think we're going. So far God's been gathering a congregation. In 2007, that's what it was about. He started to put on people's hearts, some people who are attending other churches, some people who weren't attending any church at all. He started gathering folks. And when I talked to so many of you, there was a stirring that was happening in you where you were at. And God was preparing, I think, to start something. So he's been gathering us together to do this worship thing. But now I'm excited because in 2008, I think one of the things we're going to do, we're going to continue to keep trying to improve this experience when we come together. But I think he really wants to grow a community. And that's where we're going to be putting a lot more emphasis now, trying to connect people. And like we always try to say, we're not space invaders. We're not going to make it some requirement or make it sound that way. If you're a part of coming, you can just come and enjoy the worship together. But for those that want to start to connect, we really want to make opportunities for that and to put a good emphasis, a big emphasis into that. So far, emphasis has been on the worship service. Now we want to keep doing well with that, but we want to put a big push on giving opportunities for people to connect. So if you could, if you want to turn to the back of your bulletin, we're just going to take a second at this, and we're going to try each week to start to emphasize this a little bit so that we can have these opportunities go in people's heads and start to reflect on them. It's going to mean all kinds of things down the road, this up here, but here's some of the baby steps we're going to start taking now. And one of them is, some of you have already responded to this. Sorry, I haven't gotten back to you yet. But we're going to have an open house at our house, and this is for everybody, all ages. If you want to come and just try to get a chance to ask some real-time questions where you can get real-time feedback. I'm up for individual conversations too. We've been having a number of those. But the nice things about this is you can start to get to know other people who are trying to seek out whether or not this is the right, you know, fit for you. Or even if you know it's the right fit, but I have some questions I want to ask and I want to get to know some others, this open house is a great opportunity. So we've got two dates in January. We'll probably offer some more down the road too. The Super Bowl party, it would be a blast if you can make it. We had a gathering with some ECC people on Friday night. And during this time, it was really interesting because I remember, in fact, I was talking with Becky is where, when this came into my head. I was just talking with Becky and we were sitting about this far apart. And we had to kind of almost yell to hear each other. And I thought that's so good because the conversation was just going and people were talking and everything. And I just thought, this is so fun, you know. And there was something different because I had a football game with some of my friends on yesterday. And then we went out to the Bierstube in Hastings afterwards. And there, it was fun to reconnect with these guys. I only see them once a year. But it was a very different kind of conversation than we were having, you know, at this other gathering. You know, I was being encouraged in my faith at this other place. It was a different environment. And so we want to provide those kind of opportunities. The Super Bowl party would be one of those. It seems real superficial. You may not be even into sports, but if you just want to come, we're going to have two different locations. We'll give you more about that the next couple weeks. But if you just want to come and have a blast getting to know some more people and having some fun, I encourage you to do that. And then these GAC nights, that's growing a community. We're so clever. We're not going to be promoting Gustavus Adolphus College. Great school, but that's not what this is about. We're going to start moving towards being able to offer small groups. And so one of our steps towards that is I'm going to try to find a location, because we're homeless. I'm going to try to find a location that's big enough where we can have, you know, 50 or 60 of us come together and work through some things and then do breakouts. And so this way you get a chance to meet some more people and also start to connect at a deeper level. Ideal world, we'd like to have some teen groups, you know, specifically too, if we can. So we're going to be working on that. We'll have more information as we know more, because I'm putting out some word to people, hey, can we use your facility and that type of thing. But that'll be fun. We'll have more information. But I hope to start those in February if we can. And I think it'd be a blast. There's some stuff that I ordered. It's great, this DVD. And they do some stuff where they help you walk through, as you're getting started with small groups, walk through some stuff. What's unhealthy? What's healthy? Because we've all probably been in awkward situations, and it'd be nice to just get on the same page on some of that. So those are some of the things that are ahead. I'm excited. God has begun gathering some amazing people. I can't wait till some of you start to get to meet others here. There are some fantastic people. And then you'll find, too, that it's encouraging and all those things. Okay. Well, I don't want to spend the entire time, you know, talking about the future. Let's also have a great service here. So if you just, we'll transition now into the actual message itself. And as we're doing that, what I'd like you to do, if you could pull out inside your bulletin, there's a little tag. If you could just kind of put that in your hand for right now. Just kind of hold it out. Pretend it's like a ticket. and just kind of hold it as I talk about this new series we're in. Okay, just we'll tell you why we're doing that in just a minute. All right, last week, for those who are here, we started off a brand new series. And this is a great way, I think, to start this new year because it's talking about direction. What direction are you going? So many people make resolutions or they say, okay, fresh start. This is the year I'm going to, whatever. Well, we thought, let's focus as a church community on that, on this brand new year. And we put out what we call the PATH principle last week. We introduced it. Could we put that up on the board? And this, if you're a note taker, here's the only blanks we got for you today. Sometimes we have a lot of blanks. Here's just the only one today. So just write this down and check out. No, I'm just kidding. The PATH principle. That happens. When I used to be a youth pastor for too many years, and we would do some of these blanks. How many? I would just watch them. As soon as they fill in that last blank, it was booked down. And so don't do that. Okay, PATH principle. Your direction determines your destination. Your direction determines your next destination. And we built on this last time. And we said not only does your direction determine your destination, but let's add this, your intention doesn't. You can have great intentions, and unless those intentions are linked up with your actual life choices, they don't matter. Your direction determines your destination. And that's pretty intuitive. But I encourage you to write this down because this really matters. This really matters. Your intentions, your plans, your hopes, and your dreams, that doesn't determine where you're going to end up. Your direction does. And we know this from just as we navigate physically in life. And we gave this example last week. We said, you know, how many of you got gift cards and how many did at Christmas? How many of you get gift cards? Okay, let's pretend you gathered all your gift cards up. You're like, I'm going to have one big shopping spree with all my gift cards and they're all for the Mall of America. So I'm going to head down to Bloomington. So my intention is I've got my gift cards. I want to cash them in now. I'm not going to go on the internet. None of that stuff. I want to cash them in at a real store. I've got them. I'm going down to Bloomington to the Mall of America. Like, that's your intention. But then you head north. You get in the car and you head north. And instead of Bloomington, you start seeing signs for Becker, Furniture World, and Brainerd, and Bemidji. And by the time you get to Baudette, your cards aren't going to do you much good. I haven't been there recently, but I'd imagine they don't have large malls in Baudette. On the map, it was this little tiny dot. All right. So it's obvious, right, when it comes to driving. You will not get where you're going if you go the opposite direction. But then in life, don't we sometimes act as though the principle doesn't apply? When it comes to our finances, our hope and dreams is we're not going to be stressed by our finances. We're going to have enough money to pay for the things that we think we need. And that's our hope. But is that the direction we're heading? You know, or your relationships. And your relationships, you're on a path. Relationships don't just stay stable. They drift one way or another. What path are you on in your relationships? Your profession, your education, you're on a path. Your health, you're on a path. Faith, you're on a path. All these things, you're on a path. And the principle of the path is your direction determines your destination. That's how it works. That's how it works. You know, once again, we get this in driving. We get it in hiking. We get it in flying. If you want to go to Cancun, you don't get on a plane headed for Quebec. It just doesn't work. But then again, in other areas of life, there seems to be this disconnect, at least with most people. They seem to act as though their hopes or dreams for the future will just get them where they want to go. And they don't connect their future with their choices in the now. And it's so important to do that. So important to do that. You'll either be blessed by this principle of the path. If you walk it out, you'll realize it's a great one. Or you fall victim to it if you ignore it. That just happens. It just happens. It's not all that different, again, than hopping on the plane to go back and then praying, I'm going to get... God, help me to get to Cancun. How do we get to Cancun? And you're going the opposite direction. The principle of the path will trump your hopes. It'll trump your dreams. It'll trump your intentions just about every time. And here's the thing about life. If you go the wrong direction in your car for a little while, you turn around, you lost some time. You know, if you got on the wrong plane, okay, that could happen. It's going to cost you more money, but it costs you money and time. When it comes to life, the reason this is so important, you just can't easily go back. In your 20s, when you get to your 20s, you cannot repeat your teens. You can't. You can't go back. So the choices you made in your teens, you can't go back and just not make those. You made them. When you're in 40, you can't go back and redo your 30s. You can't go back and redo your 20s. We wish we could. How many wish you could redo them some ways? You know, I do. You know, I really do. You only get one first year of college. You only get one. You only get one first marriage. You only get one first, like with, we have preschoolers right now. And I'm realizing I only got one shot at their preschool years. That's it. To try to be the best influence I can during those years. You only get one. And I don't want to press into this too far because it would hurt a lot of us. It would hurt a lot of us because we get the pants blowing. Like, I wish I could have done things differently. That's how we feel. But I even bring these things up because we need to connect with that. Because sometimes we can use that to learn. From this day forward, I will. Kind of stuff. It's so important. Get off track when you're driving. No problem. In life, it's a different thing. And I do need to make this key disclaimer. In a fallen world, there's not guarantees. And I said this last week too. I know so many people who have done their absolute best when it comes to their family. And still, someone goes astray. That's just how a fallen world is. There are no guarantees that if I do everything right, it's all going to work out. You know, finances. I know people, they put money away. They put money into stocks. They do these kind of things. And then the market crashes or there's some unexpected thing. So that's just how the world is. But I would say, you know what, 9 times out of 10, the principle of the path is it works. And I wrote this in your notes because I think this is so key. There are blessings associated with wisdom and obedience that aren't found when you step off the straight and narrow. There's no guarantees, but there are blessings that come along with trying to walk the path of wisdom that you just don't get when you step off and ignore it, even though it's a fallen world. All right, so that's a quick review. And because this is so foundational, what we just talked about here, I'd encourage you, if you missed last week, go back. Phil's now posting things online, so you can just go back and listen to it. All right, but here's where the card comes in. For those that are still, you're still holding on to this? Okay, here's where this comes in. Every once in a while, we need to do this. Because for me, as I wrestle with this stuff, I think, all right, there are people that need to hear this. You know, and this is going to sound self-serving to some of you, and if that's where you're at, then just, you don't have to do this. But I want to just take a moment before we jump into the new stuff to just pray. Take this card and let it represent the people that aren't here as an invitation. Let's just take a moment right now, because I know how life gets. We think, oh, I should probably pray for so-and-so for the opportunity to tell them or for God to soften their hearts. Well, let's just do it now, because we leave, we get all focused on all these other things. So let's just take a moment. So if you could pray with me, this will make more sense as we start. Let's just pray. God, right now as we hold these things in our hands, we pray that you would bring to mind, either right now or in the course of this week, bring to mind, God, people that you want to include into what you've said and what you're doing. And it may not even involve at all inviting them here, but Lord, we pray that you would give us invitation to take these principles that we're learning and to share them. God, I pray that no one feels like they have to force it in, but I pray that you start have conversations with people that you want us to have conversations with. You prepare it, God, and you set it up. And we pray for those whose hearts are distant and cold. Maybe they've been hurt by church or church people before. God, I pray that you would help heal and soothe those hurts enough to make them open. So God, help us to seize opportunities that are there, to even see them. And we pray, Lord, that folks that you want to connect with these truths would get connected. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, then let's get into some of the new stuff today. And again, this is so important. I'm not a counselor. I'm not. It's not my gifting, but I've had so many, because of my position, I've had so many conversations with so many people over the years. And I've had so many conversations with people who, just because they were walking down the path the wrong way, they've had to wrestle with the pain of that. And again, that's why we pray for these folks, because this is real stuff, you know? I've talked to so many people whose marriages are really in trouble right now because they were walking down the wrong path. Or people who their finances are just a mess. They're living from paycheck to paycheck and there's all this stress because they've walked down the wrong path. You know, people who are strangers to their own kids. And it's one thing, again, when the kid makes that choice, it's another when you did things that you really, really regret. So this is really important. People need this. People need this, what we're talking about today. And last week, we spent most time talking about the principle. Now today, we want to talk about the application. Applying this. How do you apply this to your life? Because awareness isn't enough, is it? And even willpower is not enough. Because how many times you're like, okay, I got to make the change. And then you don't make the change. So how do we move beyond awareness? How do we move past willpower? How do we do this? What we want to do today is to start to look at, in a small way, how do we tap into the wisdom of God and the power of God? So that it's not just us and our awareness and our willpower. How do we do that? And how do we do it in such a way where we can know and identify the right path? And then how can we have the strength and resolve then to keep walking it out? Well, the Bible says you can pray according to God's will and it'll be done unto you. And so what we did last time is we went through an entire chapter from the book of Proverbs last week. Well, today we're going to focus on one verse and really try to apply it and even learn how we can pray this verse. Pray it so that we can begin to make that connection with God. All right, so here's the verse. If you're ready, this is the only verse I think we're going to be really looking at today. Proverbs 22, verse 3. And I'm going to have you memorize this one, okay? So soak this in, because we're going to take it off the screen a little bit. We'll see if you can do it, all right? The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it, okay? So repeat after me. Keep it up on the screen right now, because we'll let you cheat. And it's in your notes. You can cheat that way. But let's try to memorize this. Because again, one of the paths that most of us want to be on is memorizing scripture. Most of us say, I'd like to have a couple verses in my head, but we then leave and we forget to do that or whatever. So why not do it together, right? Why not seize the moment to try to memorize some passages together, okay? So repeat after me. The prudent see danger and take refuge. Now do it. The prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. Let's try that again. I'll say it and then repeat it. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. Okay, let's try it again. Now we'll do the whole thing. The prudent see danger and take refuge. Yeah, you can do it with me. Sorry, I'm not used to doing this kind of thing. So, all right, just we'll do it together now, okay? The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. Let's try it again. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. One more time. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. All right, take it off the screen. Take it off the screen. Here we go. Let's try it together. Ready? The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. All right, now you're on your own. Ready? The prudent see danger and take refuge. Okay. The Nice. Keep working on this. We'll quiz you next week. This is good. Well, it's important to internalize this, isn't it? It's important to internalize some of these things to get it to a place where it's in here and it's in here. Okay, now let's talk about this because I think this is huge. Here's the picture that this verse paints. You know, imagine you have two people and they're heading down 35W, okay? Well, as you get closer and closer and closer to the river, you're going to be seeing signs, warning signs. Hey, you need to get off this road because it ends now. All right, there was that collapse of this bridge, and it's just, you're not going to be able to keep going. Well, a prudent person, this is the image here, a prudent person sees the signs and they take refuge. They change their course, okay? The simple, they just keep going. Maybe the sign's wrong. Maybe I'm ignoring the signs. Well, if the simple keep going far enough, what's going to happen? Some sort of trouble. I haven't been down there recently, so I don't know if you'd run into a roadblock or if you'd run into the river. I don't know. But if the simple keep going, that's what's talking about, they're going to suffer for it. They're ignoring the signs. They're staying on a path that is not taking them where they want to go. Their intention is, I want to get across the river. It doesn't matter what their intention is if they just keep going on a bad path, right? Okay, so the prudent, they will adjust their course. But again, I mean, I can think of example after example of people who just don't do this. I was in youth ministry, as I've said, for a lot of years. And so this person's not here today. So I'm not talking about any of you. It might sound like your story, but it's not, okay? There's this guy. He's one that comes to mind. I could pick a whole bunch of people. There's this guy who, he came from a really tough situation, really tough family situation, really tough background. Well, somehow he got connected with our youth group. And so he started attending, and on one either camp or retreat in particular, it was just a life changer for him. He changed. You talk about someone being born again. It happened to him. He just changed. His internal drives changed. His internal desires changed. He had a complete transformation. And so it was It was a powerful, good moment. Well, as we began to walk things out, I'm like, I got to try to get this guy involved, try to get him connected with people. We tried all those things. And it was good. He was really enjoying it. He was connected to other people. But there were things he wouldn't change about his life. And I know it's not easy, but we were trying to help as best we could. And it was almost as if he took his existing life and he tried to sprinkle God into it, rather than saying, okay, I need to bring about real changes. And I think of in particular his what he would watch and listen to. He wouldn't change that. He tried to add Christian music into the mix. He tried to add good stuff, but he didn't change that. And the word says, prudent, they can see where something's going and they take refuge. And the word talks about, you know, our eyes are the light lamp of our body. And yes, did God change him internally? Yes. But what does the Bible also say? It says those other things. So he didn't change that. He didn't change that piece. And I think about his friend or his friendship choices too. He had a lot of guy friends, and he was making new friends at church, but the guys who were real negative influences on, he continued to spend as much time with them as he did before. You know, and they drank and they smoked pot. And at first, he was trying to be this positive influence to them. And, you know, he was like, you guys, what are you doing? This is stupid. And blah, 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 blah. But what do you think happened over time? Who do you think influenced who? And that was his guy friends. And then one day he comes and he was telling me all about his new girlfriend. And I'm like, oh, no. Is she a believer? You know, because you're trying to make these changes. And he's like, no, but she's really nice. I'm like, okay, well, what does the Bible say about that? You know, and he's like, well, it says you're not supposed to be yoked together with unbelievers. All right. So what are you going to do? Keep going. And they started crossing physical boundaries that he knew were wrong. And then he would say, okay, we're just going to stop doing that. Like, you think you will? He's like, yeah. His intentions were good. But they kept crossing lines and crossing lines and crossing lines. You know, and it's a path. It's a path. And the prudent, they can see this, and even if they don't want to, they take refuge. Simple, keep going. And they suffer for it. And so many of you, you know this, right? You talk to people, and they're starting to tell you their story that led to the pain. And along the way, you're going, I see where this is going. You don't have to tell me the conclusion, because I know before you tell me the punchline what it's going to be. Because you're on a path. We see it, we see it, we see it. And a lot of times you'll talk to them and you'll go, where do you think this is going to head? And a lot of times they'll know. And they'll say, well, probably. What are you going to do? Keep going. It's hard. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and they suffer for it. Can we put the verse back up on the screen now? Oh, you got it up there. Great. In this verse, you got two people. You have two responses and you have two outcomes. You have the prudent. In the book of the Proverbs, they do a lot of changing of words that are almost interchangeable. And the prudent, sometimes they use the word wise instead of prudent. They use different ones. Well, the prudent people, they understand life is connected. It's connected. There's cause and effect. If I do this, it's very likely that such and such will happen. The prudent understands the future is the string of nows that add up to the future. Well, the simple, sometimes in the Proverbs, it's translated naive, sometimes fool. It uses some hard words. The simple, they act as though life is disconnected. Disconnected. Today is tomorrow. The dots don't connect. I can have intention A, take path B, and it'll all work out. Somehow, if I just hop on this plane to Quebec, it'll take me to Cancun. Somehow. The prudent and the simple, two different people, two different responses. The prudent, again, I'm trying to get redundant on purpose here. The prudent see danger and they what? They take refuge. They respond to the data. They take appropriate action. Wait a minute. This plane's headed to Quebec. I should probably change. You know, but the simple, they keep going. It's like this. Using that flying analogy, it's as if you're coming up to the ticket counter and you've got your ticket for Quebec, okay? But you want to go to Cancun, and you come up to the ticket person, and they say, okay, and she says, destination, and you go, Cancun, and you hand the ticket for Quebec. And she looks at it and says, really? Because your ticket, this plane's going to take you to Quebec. And the person goes, yeah. And she's like, so do you want to change anything here? No. No, thanks. Isn't that what it's like? Isn't that what it's like? That's the analogy. Awareness, conviction, they're just starting points. If you don't change, you're going to suffer for it. And here's the deal. Perhaps not so much at first. There's usually a buffer zone. You can start down a path that's a bad one, and it won't feel all that bad at first. That's, I think, one of the reasons we keep going on it. You can make these wrong choices, but at first, they don't hurt that much. The guy I'm so much of today, I'm borrowing from a guy named Andy Stanley at North Point Church, and he uses this. He says, one of the reasons that God makes us short when we're born is because when we learn to walk and we fall a lot, it doesn't hurt as bad. You know, when we're bigger and we fall, it hurts more. And like, that's kind of how it is too. You know, we can be on a path that's a negative one, and at first our falls aren't that bad. But if you go on that path long enough and you start to fall, it really starts to hurt. And pretty soon all your choices, all your options are bad ones. You know, let me just be very direct, very blunt. Girls, the best time to figure out if you love them is before you get pregnant. And if he loves you, isn't that true? Because back then, your choices are a lot easier, a lot less painful, so much less. Breakup might hurt then, breakup after, or an addiction. You know, by the time you get the addiction, now your options are just a lot tougher than when you're starting to overconsume something or depend on it for the wrong reasons. You know, or your lifestyle. By the time you're 60, that is not the time to start saving for retirement. The time to start dialing back your lifestyle, the time to start putting money away, all that kind of stuff, that should happen way before. Right? I don't need to exasperate this anymore, do I? Okay, we got it. All right. We could go on and on all morning. No one likes to be called simple. But if that's what you are doing, that's what the Bible says, if you just do that. Which then brings us back to this prayer that we told you about. You know, that, how can we begin to pray to tap into the very power of God? Well, I believe even before we get to that specific prayer, I believe there's this piece of conscious surrender that I want to keep reminding of us maybe every other week, every third week or something, just especially since we have new people showing up all the time. There's this piece of conscious surrender that I think precedes everything else, where you just come to God and you say, okay, God, I may not have you figure out. I may still have these questions, but God, I'm going to consciously try to surrender my life to you. I'm going to, instead of thinking I have this figured out or I have the answers, God, I'm going to start trusting your wisdom. I'm going to start trusting your power. And if you've never done that before, or if you've done it but then kind of taken it back, I would encourage you to do that. And we can do it here today. We'll do it before communion. If we don't, seriously, put your hand up, say, hey, we didn't do that thing. Do that, because I think that's so important, to just come to God. If you've done it once, if you need to do it again, where you're consciously surrendering and saying, God, take my life. I want to submit it to you. Make my thoughts your thoughts. I've seen some very cool things happen with that point. And it happened with that boy, and it happened with me. So many people describe it. It's that born-again experience. And it's even hard to use that language, because how many times in our culture has born again just been blown up as just this crazy thing? But it's a vital concept, a vital concept. And I've seen some cool things happen to people when they prayed that prayer. Like, in that moment, some things have happened. I've talked to people where, after praying like that, sincerely, their orientation changed inside. They went from, okay, I have no interest in the Bible. I have no interest in attending things with other Christians. There have been people, they pray that way and the orientation changes. It's like, wait, I want to read the Bible more. I want to sing songs about God. I've seen that happen with people. I've seen others who, when they pray like that, they all of a sudden feel like, I want to tell others about this. Instead of, I'm so concerned to tell everybody about my religion, it's like, I got to tell people. There's these things. For me personally, what happened, I prayed a prayer like that in high school. And I went in with all these questions and all of this frustration and not even sure if God was real. And then the other side of it, it was really strange, because I still had all the questions, but now I had faith. It was the weirdest thing. My questions were all still there, but I now believe that there was a God, even though I had these questions. And the other thing that happened to me is I can remember it very clearly. I was in the side room and I was praying with this guy. And afterwards, I'm like, I just have to go sit in the chapel and just praise God. I had never had that before. I just sat, and I didn't know what to do. I just sat in this pew, and I'm like, God, you're awesome. God, I praise you. God, I just wanted to do that. It was a weird thing. So this, if you've never done that surrender piece before, try it. And please tell me what happened. It may be nothing. I want to hear that. If you've never done that before, let me know, and I want to talk to you about that. Okay, but here's the thing. Don't stop. Don't stop there. Don't stop there, because that's just a step on the path, and you can misstep off of it. This is a great quote. I love this one. Could put up the believers, believed-ders. I love this. This guy's going to be in town, too. He said this, followers of Jesus are called what? Believers, not believed-ders. You know, followers of Jesus. Okay, it's not just believing one time. It's like, you know, I believed him, but now I'm a believer. I'm trying to follow. I'm trying to walk this out. Okay, and then that all brings us back to one way to do this. Okay, Proverbs 22:3. Let's take a look. The prudent see danger in what? Take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. What if we turn this into a prayer? If we want this in our life, what if we started asking God? The Bible says, ask according to my will. The Bible specifically says you can pray for wisdom. So what if we take God up on that? You know? The Bible specifically says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more than even a father giving good gifts? What if we consciously prayed this and did what the Bible says and actually asked God, help me? When it comes to knowing which path to go on, God, help me. What if we asked him for that wisdom daily or weekly? I'm going to try myself. I'm going to try to include this in my weekly prayers. Once a week, I'm going to try to pray this. You know, we're going to hear this prayer right here. And you can word it however you want. But what if you prayed something like, God, help me to see trouble before it gets here. Give me the wisdom to know what to do and the strength and courage to do it. You know, what if we did that? What if we started asking for the wisdom? And you can start that today, but then start walking it out. Because you might pray, God, what am I supposed to do? And he might say, make the call. Make the phone call. Well, you can wait, but then you're probably going to forget, or you're not going to do it. You know, or I need to break off the relationship. You need to, when you know you need to break it off, that's when you need to break it off. Or maybe it's treatment. I got to get into treatment. I need to move the computer to a different room. Or get it out of my house. Or get cable out. I don't know. I'm not telling you got to get cable out of your house. We have Dish, you know. But maybe you need to. Maybe you need to. It's going to be different for different people. What is God saying? Maybe I need an accountability partner. I don't know. But here's the thing. You guys, the prudent see danger and take refuge before it gets here. Right? That's a huge part of this. Before it gets here. You need to make the adjustments. You're pulling off 35W way before you get to the bridge. And I got to tell you something. There's going to be times that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Because people don't get that. Most people don't get that. You're stopping before you need to. Most people don't stop until they already are like, okay, if I jump off the cliff, this is bad. But I'm going to stand here right on the edge of it. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to step back here. But you're not going to fall from back there, right? Right? You know, here's a quick example from my life. For me, I've chosen to pretty much abstain from alcohol. And, you know, will I, in a big toast, will I have champagne or something? Sure. And am I saying alcohol is wrong for everybody? No, you can't make that case, I don't think. Jesus drank wine himself. Yeah. So it's not me saying anything about anybody else. But knowing who I am and what God's called me to be, that would be a path for me. And so you look foolish in our society. You know, after the game, everybody goes to the beer stoop. What do you think they order at the beer stoop? You know? Yeah, I'm the Pat Boone, you know, I'm water. I think there was one other guy that had cranberry juice, but man, it was me and him, you know. And again, it's just kind of one of those things. But my friends, you know, they get that. And here's what's funny, and this is why I use this as an example. Most of my friends get that. I think most of you guys can understand, oh, he's a pastor. He wants to draw the line at a different place. So again, for the record, not condemning alcohol. Misuse of it, yeah, but not condemning moderation at all, but for me personally. So most people get that, but right now in like church leaders circles, it's hip. It's just this weirdest thing. You read stuff, it's almost as if they're injecting it. Yeah, I went down to the pub, and it's a weird deal. It's really weird. And so with my friends or with you guys, I can talk like this, but when I'm with church leaders, it's as if they're like, well, obviously you don't have enough freedom in Christ, or someday you'll this, someday you'll grow up or something. And you could try to explain this to people. You could try to explain, well, hey, my personality is such where I can get addicted to things really quick. I could say that I have enough trouble controlling my tongue when I'm not under the influence. You know, I could give all my reasons, right? But and you could give your reasons. You could give your reasons why you will not have a friend. If you're married, you will not have a friend of the other sex that is not a mutual friend. There will be people that will not understand that. They will think, "What are you saying you'd have an affair with me? What are you, you know?" They won't understand. But you're taking refuge before you need to. Before you need to. Or you might be saying, "You know what? I look away at commercials even. If it's a sexually charged commercial, I'm going to turn my head." People are going to be like, "What are you? You can't, what? It's a commercial." Yeah, but it's also a path. It's also a path. Whatever the thing may be, you know, where you are just, you see what could be danger and you take refuge before you need to. That's what the prudent does. The simple, they keep going until it's too late and they suffer for it. Does that make sense? All right. So pray, you know, "God, help me see trouble before it gets here. Give me the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it." You don't want to wait till all your options are bad ones. And here's the other beauty about this prayer. You can start tapping into the God who can see into the future and who knows all things. Because there's so many times we get to places we've never been before. You know, how do you know a college to pick when you've never been to college before? It's like, how do I know what the right one is? I've never done this. God, help me. Be in this process, God. Help me to know. You know, marriage. When you get married for the first time, you've never been there before. How do you even know if this is right? God, give me wisdom. Or a second marriage. That's even more difficult. Because now you have to navigate this whole new world that you've never been there before. And there might be a blended family. You've got the ex things. You have all this stuff. You are in a place, it's like, I've never been here before. God, help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. Listening to God and then listening to God's people. Raising kids. Every time they hit a new age, I've never been here before. Never been here before. God, help. Help us. Help us. Whatever your stage of life. So what I want to do now, this isn't a magic formula. It's not like, okay, pray this and all of a sudden your life is perfect. But this is one tool to put in the toolbox of this relationship with God. To start praying scripture like this one. Well, what we're going to do today is we're time to celebrate communion, and you don't have to come forward for this. This is completely optional. In fact, it should be optional. It should not be something you just do flippantly. The scripture talks about that. It's a holy, sacred time. But we're going to give people the opportunity who would like to come forward for communion. And our policy here at Emmanuel is this. The only person that's going to keep you from the Lord's table is you. That's it. If you desire to encounter and receive from God in this way, you can come forward. That's the only person I'll keep you. There won't be anybody up here saying, "Do you fit this, you know, checkbox?" The only thing I would say is only come forward if you want to do it in the scripture says, like in a holy and God honoring manner. And we'll help you walk through that right now, so that we can do that. So that's our policy here. And the way we'll do it is first we'll invite the ushers and the communion service to come forward, and we'll take communion ourselves, and then we'll all be standing at that point, and then the ushers will just let you come forward if you want at that time. So it's very, very simple, and then you can just return to your seats. So that's how it'll work. But let's begin to prepare ourselves now for this holy time. And let's do it first. We're going to do some things that'll help connect us with the body of Christ all over the world. And one of those is with the Apostles' Creed. Confessing and proclaiming our faith using those words. So could we do that? Could we put those up on the screen, the Apostles' Creed? And if you could please say these words together. Let's read this together. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." The Bible also says as you prepare to approach God, it's a good thing to admit and confess your sins. And we'll do this once here as a group using some written words, but I encourage you too, even as you come forward, you don't have to take the cup and the wafer right away. You could just go off to the side if you want. We have some things up here you could reflect on if you'd like, but take a moment personally to even do this more customized. But as a group, let's confess confess that we fall short of God's first best. Can we put that prayer up on the screen? Okay, please pray with us. Lord, we confess that we are sinners and cannot save ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, as our final preparation for communion, let's remember and proclaim as the Bible instructs. I'll put the words on the screen. I'll just read these, but let's look at these. These are right out of Scripture. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." This is one of the reasons why someone brought up a great point last time we were together when we had communion. And we have our people use those words from the Bible. We have them say, "This is the body of Christ given for you, blood of Christ shed for you." And someone said, "Well, what if I don't believe that it's physically becomes bread and the bread and the juice become his body and blood physically?" That's okay. The Bible doesn't say you have to come to conclusion on that, and I haven't personally either. But what we're doing is we're just following what Scripture says. And you know, Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my blood." We don't know exactly what happens, and you don't have to. Is a prerequisite for coming forward. But if you want to receive somehow, wonderfully, the body and blood of Christ, whatever that means, you're welcome to come forward. So don't let that be a limiting factor. Okay, let's do a final prayer, and then worship team, you can go ahead and get into place, and then we'll, as soon as I say amen, ushers and servers, why don't you come forward. Let's pray. God, we do pray that you would take this and make it a sacred time and a sacred moment. Lord, help people right now who don't feel holy to know that this is exactly what we all need, because nobody in this room has their act together, so at least not fully. So God, we pray that you would help all of us to just approach you right where we are. And we thank you, God, that you invite us to do that, to come as these broken, sinful people desiring new life, and we pray that that happens. Lord, we specifically pray for those who have never consciously surrendered to you. We pray right now, even where they're seated, that they would allow you to speak that voice loudly into their life that does say that you're real, that they would be able to consciously say, "God, I come to you now. I as best I can, I lay down my life, and I ask that you would become my leader, my Lord, as I move forward from this day, and teach me what that means, God." So we pray for folks to experience that even for the first time today. And for all of us, God, help this to be a time of recommitment, resurrender, where we tap into your power and your wisdom, and we consciously come forward for that. So God, thank you for this reminder. You say do this in remembrance of you, and we do. We remember that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We pray that you'd have mercy on us. And please pray the Lord's Prayer if you know it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, would you please stand with me? We have one more thing I'd like to proclaim. This is the great mystery of faith. Many different denominations all around the world will proclaim these words before receiving communion. Can we put up the "Christ has died, Christ has risen"? Please proclaim these with me. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Remain standing, remain seated, however you are. One of the things that I hope got across today that I didn't probably say in these words is you need to know that God is for you. You know, these tough things that we put out there, I say these things about marriage and college and all these choices just to help us to connect, right? And I hope you know that God is for you. In your mistakes, in your pain, his goal is to help you to get on the right path. That's the whole reason that he came and stepped into our world. And I also want you to know this. We're going to work so hard to be a group who is for each other. My hope is that this can be the place where we can be as real as possible, you know, with as much as you want to disclose, with the people you want to disclose, that this can be a place where you can come, and this is the place you can be the most real and the most authentic. And you can come and say, "Yes, I've made these mistakes, or yes, I'm hurting this area. Yes, I wish this wasn't the case, whatever the deal is. Know that we want to be for you also. Emmanuel, God with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? And then if God is for us, why can't we be for each other? So I hope you hear that. And I hope in the tough things that we pressed into today, because I can see the emotion on a number of your faces, I hope you know that we are for you and we'll do our best to do that. All right? Now please receive this prayer from God. Pour out upon us, God, the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you've now fed with one heavenly food through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, we pray as we go forth that we could understand how for us you are. Help us, God, in these times where we face these choices and these temptations. Help us, God, to know that you're a God who desires us to do right, who desires all to turn to you to be saved, not a God who's looking to beat us when we're down, but a God whose desire is that we may turn to you, receive your salvation, and be restored. So God, as we go forth, help our minds and our hearts to understand that more deeply, and may we experience it more concretely. So Lord, bless us. Help us to see that your face does shine, that you do smile and you weep, and all those things that we feel. Lord, help us to experience that and to have hope. Hope, God, that no matter how far we've fallen, you can pull us back up. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. See you next week.